You may be seated. We come from Samuel 16. Starting at the sixth verse. It says, "And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Looketh for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." I want to stop right there for a few. Everything we do in life, when we pick our mate, our friends, the ones we want to be seen with, we don't look at their heart. We look at how they carry themselves. We look at what they have. We look at what we want from them. And we decide who or what place they're going to play in our lives. So if we could see, will we still make the same choices? If we could see, would we have married the person that we did? If we could see, would we have became friends with the one we became friends with? If we were able to see, would we truly follow man? The Lord sent Samuel to anoint a new king. Because he was very disappointed in Saul. But see, Samuel didn't know who he was supposed to anoint as king. See, but it's a test. The first time he was told who, but this time he just knew that it was the son of Jesse. So as he brought the first son, he looked at his stature. Yeah. Which said he looks good enough to be king. Yeah. You know, and how many men have married a woman, says, she looks good enough to be a trophy. So I'm going to marry her. And then years later, when you got that, you know, real early gray, your pockets are broke because she done cleaned you out, then you want to blame somebody. It wasn't your fault. Ain't it right? I mean, we made the choice, but we looking at how we live life. It was not our fault. Every son that he brought before him, God disapproved of. But which one did he choose? For Samuel asks, is this all of your kids? No, there's still one, but where is he at? He's watching the sheep. The humble one, the one that we overlook. There's always one that you overlook. There's always one that has a lot to say, but is unable to speak it. I don't know who, maybe God's trying to reach me, because I know when he brought it there, I looked at myself and I said, "Ooh, Lord, Why didn't I hear you a long time ago? But he is awesome, awesome. Now, we know that after David became king, he conquered many wars. Now, this is why it's entitled, If I Could See. Because in 2 Samuel 11, it talks about David's wars. And we know that he had conquered many wars. But this one war, instead of David being what he should have been, with the soldiers doing the battle as he had been, he stayed at home. And when he got up out of his bed, he stepped outside. And he saw a beautiful woman, one that was married to his most faithful servant. I know this story is long. God said, you can shorten it a little bit if you want to. But so he sent for her. And in those days, because he was king and promised that he would protect her, she did as he asked. And then she sent back word that she was with child. So now David had to cover up his sin. So we know that he first tried to be clever and have his faithful servant come and drink and go home to lay with his wife. That was his way out. The only problem was that wasn't God's plan. You know, we always think that we got a good plan. We always think we got a good way out. Amen. But if you don't know God, then you're still blind. You know, a lot of us, we are called by God and we do the best that we can at the time. But we know when God's not happy with what we're doing, because he's going to take us through some more stuff. He says, can you put that back up, please? Yes. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they had destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, and David tarried still at Jerusalem. Instead of him being where he should have been, he found idle time. We know about idle time, because we all got in trouble with idle time. Amen. So it's good to know God. Can we get verse 2? And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose off from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the house he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now I know I've dated a couple of women that I saw as beautiful, out of my league. So you know when they said yes, I lost my mind. Yeah, I learned from it too. Everything that looked good ain't good for you. It's not meant for you. And man, I learned how to do as God does. look upon the heart and don't worry about what anybody has to say. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Sheba, the daughter of, thank you, the wife of you're on the head tight. Verse 4. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he laid with her, for she was purified from her uncleanliness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. Verse 6. Okay. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Urim the head tight. And Joab did as David said. Even today, I know times are not the same as they were then. You know, we have our presidents these days, not kings. But we know that that after everything David had done to cover up his sin failed, which left him, he felt, no other choice. For if he had told the truth, he would have been dethroned as king. And the woman that he loved, he would have had every right to have her stoned to death. We cover up a lot of things that we actually do to our day. And we believe that we actually have gotten away with many things. Anyway, David sent him to the forefront, where he knew he would be killed. Now that was very pleasing to our God. When God sent a person to talk to David about what had went down, but he didn't allow David to know that the story was about him. There was a man that had plenty, and there was a man that had just one sheep. The man that had plenty took the one sheep. David was highly upset and said what he would have done to the one that had plenty and took from the one that had only one. And it was revealed to David, that person is you. You took from a man, all he had was his wife. And God was so appointed and in him that he let him know that it was by your hand that he was killed. It is your sins that is upon your house. I think what really got me is when God said that dagger would be forever in his house. But what I think was so awesome is how, although God places our sins upon us for us to bear, how forgiving God is. You know, it really, really made me think about just how awesome God is. But it made me aware that, like the David, every bravery thing David has done, every good thing David had done, is now overshadowed by his sin. It makes you think about the choices that we make. And even though I've studied this, I pondered over it for weeks, last night, I was still making a bad choice because it involved somebody that I cared about. And I was ready to go to war. I was ready to get my hands bloody. But I'm a man of God. And God is showing me just how, if you are not 100% with God, then you can be used by Satan to do his will. You know, I know I read it in the Word where Satan says they honor you with their mouths, but they always do as I ask them to. You know, and I just find it to be troubling to my heart. You know, that I can allow myself to be used in such a way that I can't take back what's done. You know, is that I will not be for you long. I was reading one of David's Psalms, Psalms 139. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my up rising. Thou understandest my thoughts from afar off. Thou compassest my path and my laying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such a knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. To understand that David here lays down this great doctrine that the God with whom we have to do has perfect knowledge of us, and that all the emotions, actions, both of our inward and of our outward man, are bare to our God. It's bare before Him. Before God, you can put on as many layers of clothes, but in the eyes of God, we are naked. For He knows our every thought before we even do it. He whispers to us to try to deter us from doing wrong in His sight. He lays down this doctrine in the way of an address to God. He says it to Him and giving Him the glory of it. Divine truths look fully as well when they are prayed over and when they are preached over, and much better when they are disputed over. When we speak of God to Him Himself, we shall find ourselves concerned to speak with the utmost degree both of sincerity and reverence, which will be likely to make the impression deeper to God. I like this because it shows just how humble He became, knowing that when you disappoint the one that created you, when you disappoint the one that truly gave you life, when the one that has you in the palm of His hands to give you peace, or to do as He did unto Saul, when Saul tried to take away the one he knew would replace him, the word tells us that God sent demons to torture Him. So we can't always blame Satan when unclean spirits are sent to straighten us out. We have a choice. So if I could see, would I have still made the same choices? If I could see, would I disapprove of what I don't like? If I could see, would I say I love you from my heart, or would I say I love you because I know it's the right thing? These are questions that God had me thinking to myself. If I could see, would I love you anyway, even though I don't like you? These are true thoughts. These are everyday thoughts. These are things that we should ask ourselves before we go against anything. When I say, if I could see as God sees, the one that I claim to love, the one that I claim that I want to walk like, if I could see, how honest would I be? This sermon has carried me. I cried over it because I looked at my life and I was disappointed. But God, although I don't measure up, I know that He loves me if nobody else does. And that's how we have to see life. You can't please me because I'm not God. And I know that at times the only thing that pleases me is what I want. The only time things pleases me is when you're doing things according to how I see life. You know, my wife and I, we was going through some things, and I had made it up in my mind that I was done with it. And then it was brought to me. You want her to mend her ways according to how you see life. She wants me to mend my ways according to how she sees life. Instead, we're going to talk about it. And we're going to respect and love each other just as we are. Because that's God's way, not our way. Why throw away 14 years of blessings just because you don't like the way the person is? And when I look in the mirror, I don't like the way I am. This is what God wants us to understand. You know, give yourself time to reflect before you pass judgment on anyone. Talk to them. Be understanding to them as you would want them to be as understanding to you. If you can't give that person understanding and love, then why should God give it to you? My God is awesome. He's awesome. Because he's changing who I am. He's changing the way that I think. He's showing me how disappointing I can be to those who want to love me, who want to trust me, who want to be by my side. Because things are not going the way I want them to. We got to tell ourselves, it may not go the way I want it to, but it's all right. I know it's going according to God's plan. You know, David may have paid the price for his sin, but it made him a better king. And this is only the icing of what David went through. If you was to finish reading the story about what everything David went through, you would be on your knees praising God that he didn't send you through the same thing. Saul lost his life because he refused to accept that he was no longer God's choice. We want what we feel will make us important. God said, what you should want is what brings my light upon your life. Because when you're important, you don't have any peace. God is important. Can you imagine how many prayers God gets every single day? Could you handle that? If I could see, how would I be? Amen. Father God,